Well, I don't know, Kevin Barker. He says that it's opening day, but I swear to God, it feels like that was game 163 of the 2024 season.
I didn't feel that way. It's only game one, buddy. Buckle up.
Buckle up.
Buckle up.
Buckle up.
Yeah. One way or the other, buckle up.
12-2, the Baltimore Orioles pretty much putting the boots.
Laid the boots, boy.
To Barker's Blue Jays.
I tell you, you want to apologize right now to the Orioles?
Huh?
You want to apologize right now to the Orioles?
Well, for saying they might finish in last place?
You want right now? I think you should. I think you should
maybe.
Walk that back.
Well, I mean, they're not going to. You know, they're not going to see
your mouth
this,
now.
They're not
see
this
mouth.
Type of pitching. They're not going to see this type of pitching all year long.
There's some bad
this
pitching
was not,
in
this,
baseball.
Well, I know, but this was really bad pitching tonight. Let's be honest. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line, name and location. Please, the Blue Jays. 12-2 losers to the Baltimore Orioles. I would hit 14-4. The Orioles hit 6 home runs, Ooh. 2 by Adley Rutschman, 2 by Cedric Mullins, Tyler O'Neill with the 6 consecutive opening day home run, which is just, you know, out of, yeah, one of those things you can't explain.
Nope.
Kevin, I want to talk about Jose Berríos. He got the start today. Now, Jose Berríos, if you look at his 2024 American League Pitcher of the Month in April, March and April, had a good start, but at the end of the year, 31 home runs allowed by Jose Berríos. That was the fourth highest total in the majors. And, you know, again, a bugaboo for this pitching staff and for Jose Berríos, the long ball. I mean, you cannot come. You're not going to win a game where the other team's hits 6 home runs. You're just not.
Yeah, let's be honest, too. It's team-wide. Last year, they gave up the second most homers, 208. They gave up 6 tonight, like you mentioned. Like, it's the counts, it's location. It's when you want to go in, you got to get it in there. Like, you know, these guys are big leaguers. 1-9 for the Orioles, they're competing. Like, they're hunting certain locations, certain spots. You can tell they got their game plan on point. Like, yeah, they weren't fooled a lot. Like, you could tell when he was falling behind, you know, 2-1 changeups to Adley right down the middle, you ain't getting that back. Like, this is sort of when a catcher's a good hitter this time of the year, he's fresh. He's never going to be fresher, Jeff. Yeah. We've talked about that, than he is right now, and you got to hit locations. You got to be unpredictable. I said that about Jose today against this lineup because of how balanced they are. Righty and lefty, you got to make good pitches. You got to work both sides of the plate. If you're going to throw a front hip two-seamer in a fastball count, you got to get it in there. If you don't, you're not going to get it back, and that's exactly what happened. I'm just worried about the long ball. Jeff, it's a thing now. Last year, 208. Now, again, I know, you know, the bullpen last year was a bunch of AAA guys ran out there, but still, 208 homers is 208 homers, and now you're starting the season off with 6 more. It's a thing. Something Pete Walker's got to do. You know, just the quality of the misses have to be better. Like, you can't cement mixing curveballs down the middle to left-handed hitters with a natural uppercut in their swing. If you do, in the American League East against teams like the Orioles, you're going to get beat and beat bad. And, oh, by the way, 1-3 in the order for the Blue Jays. Jeff, 0-10.
0-10.
The Jays had one chance with runners in scoring position today. We said this. If the big three's not doing it, who's getting it done?
Yeah, no, I mean, without question, that's one of the things to watch for this year. Zach Eflin was awfully good. The Jays did have a couple of pitches to hit early in the game, a couple of hanging pitches.
Yeah.
Couldn't do anything with it. Andrés Giménez accounting for the 2 runs with a 2-run homer in the 4th inning. But, boy, by that point, you really got the impression that the starch was taken out of the Jays. Not a happy crowd. Lots of Fire Atkins chants. I mean, I heard him in the 5th inning, the 7th inning, and you could certainly hear them in the 9th inning. And, look, I mean, this is – we've talked about this on our show. This is not a this is a fan base that, even though it's the first game of the year, they're prepared to be grumpy. And, you know, it was not on any level for opening day. Jose Berríos didn't pitch well. The lineup didn't come through. Yariel Rodriguez was awful. Alejandro Kirk gets thrown out going to second base.
Yeah, if you're picking, you're down 10. Place right in front of you. I mean, you hit a line drive in a good count, a good hitter's count. You put a good, nice, balanced swing on a pitch, place right in front of you, you're getting thrown out at second, down 10 runs in the 9th inning.
Yeah, it's what that says.
Optically, it just doesn't look good. I mean, that's Yeah.
No,
that's all.
And let's face it. You know, look, nobody – here's the thing about opening day. You know, nobody looks at an opening day loss and says, okay, the season's over. Conversely, nobody looks at an opening day win and says, okay, we're going to – you know, we're going to have – it's going to be a great year. We're going to go 162-0. But people do judge what the team looks like. People do pay attention to the optics. And the optics were not good today.
Which fan base you think's happier?
Well.
Like, which one do you think looks – or is getting in their car or sitting in traffic for the next 9 hours thinking to themselves, man, you guys watch the game today?
Yeah. No, I mean that is well said.
I hate to bring up the 9 hours worth of traffic.
Want to talk about one play, and it's okay. So only 9 hours. Traffic's good today then, in other words.
Yeah, slow.
Want to talk about one play in particular, Kevin, in the second inning. Tyler O'Neill draws a walk. Ryan Mountcastle doubles. He's on second. O'Neill's on third. Cedric Mullins hits a chopper to Vladdy. Vladdy jumps up.
Yeah.
Can't make the play. Doesn't make any play. Tyler O'Neill scores. Now, we first looked at the play. We thought, okay, it's kind of one of those no-man's land things. Tough decision to make. O'Neill went back. But there was a play he could have made, wasn't there, on there. Now, and I'm not saying it's 12-2, but, I mean, that does change.
Well, no, it wasn't 12-2 then.
Right. That does change the complexion of the inning.
Well, yeah, you got a pitcher on the mound who you could tell was searching for things like release point and just how he's going to get a balanced lineup out, and every play needs to be made. It's that little thing, right? When you leave your feet as a first baseman, it sort of throws you off balance. You're trying to find your way, right? You sort of lose what you're seeing in front of you. See Mountcastle when you go back and look at it. And I had to do this. I was thinking, man, that's basically the only play you can make. The only thing probably you could argue with is make the toss a little firmer to Jose, a little bit more out in front, and maybe you get Mullins out of first base. And then you go back and look at it, and Mountcastle being Mountcastle, right, and we've seen – really bad base running in the big leagues quite a lot. Basically runs to third, stands on third. O'Neill is like three steps off of third base. So if you're Vladdy and you're, you know, sort of looking at what's going on now again, he leaves his feet. He sort of, you know, is all over the place when it just comes to where's everything at and trying to make the play. And he's at least trying to get one out, so you can't argue that. Would you like to have seen him, okay, with the dude running down the first baseline, let me think about what's going on. If I see the runner at second base sort of crowding the runner at third base, I run at both of them. I get one in a rundown. He gets the next two guys out. They don't score in that inning. It's that little thing right there. And when you don't hit a bunch of homers, you don't get a bunch of hits. You got to get all the outs you can get.
Guy in Toronto, lead us off, my friend. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year, guys. Long time.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed the national anthem today, and that was probably about it. But on a more serious,
I gotta admit, note, I missed. We were hustling over here from the studio at Sportsnet, so I missed the. We missed the anthem. I had my little earbuds in, but we missed the anthem.
Fantastic!
And I presume that it sounded like there was sort of, you know, the requisite amount of booing and blah blah blah. So it doesn't sound like anybody's panties got tied up in a knot by what happened. So that's good.
Unfortunately, that was the highlight of the game. But I mean, I think you know what, this team, I think they are going to be better offensively. I really like Rodon. I know it's one game, but I watched him in spring training a lot, and I really hope they let Wagner and Rodon play 4, 5, 6 games in a row instead of what, you know, Schneider always tends to put guys in and out, and it's hard to build a bit of a rhythm, especially at the beginning of the year if you have to sit a day, play a day, sit a day. And just that whole thing that he does really bothers me. I hope, you know, it's more solid with these guys that they play and give him a chance. But the starting pitching really scares me this year. Like, I didn't think Barrios was going to be this bad. I know he hasn't had a good opening day ERA. I think it's around 9 or something. But, you know, I look at the five guys. Like, Scherzer's, you know, one thumb injury away from being on the DL the rest of the year. And Bassett and Gosman, they kind of, you could see a little bit of a slip in them last year. I love Bout and Francis. And I think the bullpen will be a little bit better. But, you know, the question I have for you guys outside of that is, with Atkins, like, I mean, who is he competing against as far as giving Kirk $58 million on a five-year? You could have probably locked this guy up, considering Jansen got an $8 million one-year term for maybe 3 years and 24. The mismanagement of money between Alejandro Kirk and $13 million to Miles Straw, and that probably had to do with the Sasaki thing. you know, giving all this money out to these guys, and then you can't even sign Guerrero. You're not going to sign Bo. We already know this. And I just want to know your thoughts. Is this going to be the same thing as the last 2 years? I'll hang up and listen. Have a great year, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Guy. I appreciate it. I'll turn you over to the Kirky Whisperer, Kevin Barker, here. I'm calling you the Kirky
What do you
whisperer.
Want me to say? It's not my money. That's the way you want to spend it. It's the way you want to spend it. Like, I was just saying, the guy's not a free agent for a couple more years. See if he can play behind the plate 115-plus games and how his offense looks. I'm not saying you never pay him, but the last couple of years, when you see how much he's catching and the way his offense looks, I make you wonder a little. That's all.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as the starting pitching goes, look, they give up. You know, they're an older staff. We know that. There will be concern regarding Max Scherzer all year long because of the thumb situation. That's just something that I think everybody's going to deal with. And I mean, it's the same staff that gave up a lot of home runs last year. Now the bullpen should be better.
Yep.
The bullpen should be better. But when you look at what happened today, 12-2 is not it. It's not a good result. It was a sloppy game. I mean, the thing that really stands out for me more than anything else. I mean, I think Bo and Vladdy and Santander are going to hit, but man, oh man, I see Yariel Rodriguez in garbage time, and Kevin, don't be afraid to throw inside.
Well, I think he tried.
Well, he shouldn't be. Yeah, but he tried.
Yeah, he tried.
Well, he should be able to do it. He shouldn't be trying. He should be able to do it. And we're not talking about a 19-year-old kid who's out there scared. This is a guy, let's face it, they kept this guy over Ryan Yarbrough. And I don't think it's worthwhile having an argument, a big argument about Yarbrough versus Yariel Rodriguez.
Well, they gave Rodriguez a ton of money.
But, I mean, if it's about winning, who's a better pitcher?
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I don't think the outcome of the season would matter either way between those two guys. I just think something has to be done with the quality of the misses. It's a consensus through the board. It's just most of the guys, you're getting 2-1 counts and you're throwing, trying to go in. You don't get it in enough to a good left-handed hitter. He bridges you. Like, those are things, right? Like, you got to, I mean, it's not like they're not trying to hit those spots and they know what hitters' weaknesses are. It's just, how do you – execute that consistently? Because the 208 home runs last year and giving up six, yeah. I understand 12-2 is a 12 loss is a loss is a loss.
Six home
but
runs.
You gave up six big ones.
Yeah.
And they were pretty easy big. Like, it wasn't like them dudes were going up there hitting pitchers' pitches.
No.
I mean, they were, a lot of them were center cutting because you're missing spots. So that's all. I'm sure it'll be corrected and they'll do whatever it takes to make better pitches when it matters the most. But, man, like, again, it just – Jeff, this, you're not going to win a ton of games when the big three is 0-10 and you give up six big ones. I mean, I know I'm stating the obvious there, but you're just not. You had one chance with runners in scoring position.
Lindsay in Toronto, you just left the game.
Yeah, that's correct. Oh, nice to talk to you guys. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
And I flew in from Winnipeg yesterday because this is my third home opener in a row.
Awesome.
I want to talk about is how a couple of years ago when they did the renovations to the stadium, everything was new and shiny. And when I went to the first game of the year, people were optimistic about the team, all the stuff that's been done to improve the stadium. And then like last year, team didn't do that good 2 years ago. So it was the opening day was kind of like a quiet, like you got to show me, the team has to show us. And then today I just felt like there was like no energy, where the people are tired of like Ross Atkins and like, he should have got two thumpers, like, Kevin always says, and like this was like no energy in the stadium from the first pitch, and it didn't help that Baltimore got off the quick start. So my question is for you guys, is as big as fans as I am, like, where do you see the fan base, and like how is this team going to spark the fan base to like show up to games, or is it going to just be a steady decline from here? I'll let you guys discuss.
I appreciate the call, Lindsay, and safe trip back to Winnipeg. Kevin.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an upset fan base. They want Vladdy signed. They wanted a resolution to this situation, and we can talk about whether or not he's full value for wanting $525 or $550 million or whatever. The fact of the matter is he's going to get it. And the fact of the matter is the first team that has a shot at getting him are the Blue Jays. And, you know, this team hasn't won a playoff series in, since 2016.
Yeah.
Hasn't won a playoff series. It's made it to the playoffs. Both occasions, it's crashed out. In I mean, that loss to the Seattle Mariners basically caused the front office to change the entire team.
Yep.
Then you go into Minnesota and you lose a game, and, you know, you have the whole controversy surrounding the decision to take Jose Berríos out. And no Jays fan, I think, to this day is satisfied with the explanation that was given. Mm-hmm. And now you go into a year where arguably your two best homegrown players since Carlos Delgado was here, in Vladdy Jr. and Bo Bichette, they're both in their walk years. And, you know, baseball fans are smart. You know, they see what Juan Soto signed for. Mm-hmm. They saw the Jays involved in pursuing Soto and Sasaki and Corbin Burns and Shohei Ohtani, and I keep getting back to this. I think if Jays fans were convinced that this front office could put a winning team on the field without Vladdy next year, they might feel a little different.
Yep.
They might say, okay, you guys don't want to sign Vladdy?
We've
That's
seen you
fine.
Before.
You've made that decision.
Yeah.
But, you know, for that to happen, the fans have to believe that you're capable. I mean, they know the money's there. But they got to believe that you're capable of replacing the guy who's going to leave. And they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're basing it on the fact that the team hasn't won a playoff series.
Yeah.
And they're basing it on the fact that the team is running a big payroll and has a guy hitting cleanup. No disrespect to Andrés Giménez, that hit a home run.
Yeah.
You got a $250 million payroll. Your cleanup hitter on opening day is a dude who's only done it four other times in his career. Like, I mean, the fans aren't stupid. And the fans are grumpy. The fans are bitchy. And yeah, this can't surprise anybody. This can't surprise anybody.
Yeah, I think winning cures all. I mean, you can handle this, like you said, if they're starting to win and look like everything's pointed in a positive direction. If not, fans are going to get chippy and, you know, not like to hear.
Yeah, there's no patience. There's no patience anymore.
Not anymore.
There's no patience here anymore.
No, I don't think so either.
And. Yeah. I think that's compounded by the fact that there is a thought out there that had this front office been a little more aggressive earlier in Vladdy's career, that this, you know, you may have been able to have him on a contract that would keep him here for another couple of years. This is what I get back to. I you know what? A 26 or 27 year old guy who becomes a free agent. He's not going to settle for a $250 or $300 million contract.
Not anymore.
He's just not.
No.
And we could see this coming. Kevin, we could see this coming 2 years ago. I mean, when he had that MVP caliber year, even though it was in the minor league ballparks and all, I mean, the clock started going. At that point, you start looking at a guy and saying, okay, this is exactly the type of guy who's going to reach free agency at a certain age. He's going to get a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm not sure you could see the number that I think he's asking for until Soto signed what he signed for. And then sky's the limit. Now.
See, I disagree.
I don't.
I think you could have seen – I think you could have foreseen this 2 years ago that he was going to ask
for.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's...
Absolutely. $500 million is not – you know, that – This is not out of the question. 2 years ago, if you had told me Vladdy'd get $500 million, I would have said, I can see that. I can see somebody paying a 26, 27-year-old power hitter that much money. Absolutely.
Hmm.
So I don't know this idea that I just don't know. I really don't know, but I do know that fans are upset. You know, and I've said I agree with this front office that, you know, ultimately a winning team is what keeps bringing fans back.
Yeah,
you know, you can have a great player. If Vladdy's in this team and they're winning 71 games a year, they're not selling this place out.
Yeah,
but most of those fans are going to say, "All right, show me that you can win without Vladdy.
You
haven't been able to win with him. Well, can you win without him? Based on what?" Which free agent position player have you – I mean, you've overpaid for Anthony Santander, which is fine. You had to do it, but you did it.
Yep.
You brought George Springer in here.
Yep.
But have you seen anything that suggests that you could maybe not sign Vladdy and go after Kyle Tucker in next season? You think
no.
Kyle Tucker's going to come here?
Probably not.
Eric in Halifax, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, welcome back, guys. I missed you.
Oh, thanks.
Good. Thank you. Good to be back.
And I told you guys last year, patience is a virtue. This was only the first game. And if they don't sell, if they don't sign Vladdy, and I know Bouchette's gone, they might as well fall off the tent. But I'm not going to give up on them. And the only reason I'm not giving up on them is, why did they get stuck in the hardest division in baseball? I don't understand that. I mean, if they were in any other division, they would have a good snowball chance, you know, a good chance of making the playoffs every year. Can you answer me, why did they get stuck in the East, which is the hardest league, or hardest division to win?
Yeah, you know what? Thanks. Thanks very much for the call. Listen, I've talked to people for 10 years about this. I want this team in the Central. I want this team with the Detroit Tigers. It's never going to happen. I mean, this is the way when the Jays came in. This is where they were placed, and the league were balanced, and they've realigned things. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, if there was realignment coming down the road, stick me in Cleveland and Detroit's division.
Wow.
You know, especially with the sort of more balanced schedule. I'm going to see. Do I need to see the Yankees an extra 8 times a year? No. Right? Do I need to see the Red Sox an extra 8 times?
Some would say that's whining.
No.
Some would say that's whining. I mean, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. No.
I don't mind having to beat the best, but I don't like – if you give me an opportunity to not have to beat the best 8 less times a year, I'll take that.
There you go. I mean, you want the easy way out.
But, yeah, I know. Listen, it is what it is. There will be realignment eventually once baseball figures out what's going on with Tampa Bay and Oakland, and once we see where expansion goes. There will be realignment, and I think there is a real good chance that you are going to see – teams shift divisions, but then you get into a lot of internal baseball politicking, and and you've also got another issue is you've got time zones for TV. You know, this is a great time zone for TV. You're in the Eastern time zone. It's a good time zone for your TV product. So there are a lot of things that go into it.
Yep.
But yeah, Lindsay, believe me, I think there are a lot of fans right now that are going home. Although I look at Central now. No.
What?
I look at the Central.
Guardians?
Huh?
The Guardians?
Mm-hmm. Where would they be in the Central right
that's
now?
That's a great question.
Right? They're better than the White Sox. Yeah. I mean, we could put a team together in this booth and beat the White Sox. We might be a little shy in relief pitching, but. Yeah.
I think there's a blueprint on how you win in the American League East, and right now the Blue Jays haven't found it. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
They found it a couple of years in 15 and 16, and since then they've tried to go different ways. Cheaper ways. I mean, I know they've spent a ton of money this year, but you have to have a certain kind of team, a certain kind of lineup to win every year in the American League East.
12-2, the Baltimore Orioles have put the boots to the Blue Jays in the home opener. The good news is it's early, and the same two teams get to go at it again tomorrow. And the even better news, we're not done yet. We got about another half hour left. The numbers to call. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line, name and location. Please, it's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
John, for Jose, what was the game plan against the Orioles for him, and what kept him from executing?
Yeah, I mean, you got to pitch inside to this team, you know, and I don't think he got in a little bit, but I think it was just mistakes, you know, the O'Neill sinker just trying to go middle down, and it kind of, you know, it's up out, running back over the middle of the plate. You know, we know that Adley has handled him fairly well over his career. It was change up. I think it was just missed pitches, you know, and that happens on opening day. You're a little bit amped up. It just really, you know, the homer to Cedric, I think, was just kind of a get-me-over-heater that they were trying to go up and in. That leaks back middle. Just came down to execution. You know, he didn't really have his breaking ball until later in the outing. And I think against this team, you got to be very aware of pitching inside, and especially with right-handed pitchers, you got to kind of wrap that breaking ball a little bit lower, and today wasn't the case.
That was the manager, John Schneider, talking about the performance from his pitchers, in particular Jose Berríos, in a 12-2 loss to the Baltimore Orioles. It's the Jays have opened the 2025 season. It is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The numbers to call, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. You can text us at 590-590, name and location, please. Standard data and message rates apply. A reminder to download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why. It's never ordinary at Bet365, 19-plus play responsibly, Ontario only. We really don't have any standings to look at. It's the first day of the season. The Jays are tied for last with a couple of other teams. Hmm. Or you could say they're tied for second with a couple of other teams.
Rude.
But since it is opening, it is rude. Since it is, this is a rude game. Since it is opening day, and Jose Berríos was the opening day starter, and we're going to hear from Jose Berríos in a minute. He has a 9.53 ERA and a 2.03 WHIP in three opening day starts with the Blue Jays. So, interesting hearing John Schneider. I don't know what to make of that. Guys being amped up. It's opening day.
Yeah,
that's true. But this is not Jose Berríos' first rodeo on opening day.
Well, it's almost like if you knew that coming in, why would you start him opening day? I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but how many?
But you
times
just are. You just became that guy.
Well, how many times you got to run him out there to see a 9 ERA?
Yep.
And him to get hammered.
Jose Berríos was asked about his outing after the game, and if you know anything about Jose Berríos,
he's gonna own it.
You're not gonna be surprised when you hear this answer.
Today, I wasn't executing my pitches. I tried, but I didn't, and also they had a good day in the box. So, I mean, like a leader, I am. I failed today.
Well,
yeah. I mean, I'd run through a wall for that dude. You wouldn't?
I absolutely would.
I mean, he's exactly right. What are you going to say? Yeah. No.
I failed today.
That's exactly the way it's supposed to sound.
Well, it is. It's exactly. It's short. It's just. It's succinct. You take responsibility for what happened. And,
100%.
Again, if you know anything about Jose Berríos, and I know we sing his praises, but that's not a surprise.
Nope.
That's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. And, as I said, the good news is last year, Jose Berríos, he was really good at the start of the year. He was the American League Pitcher of the Month. So, let's see if he can rebound. Owen and Whitby, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
All things considered, I guess.
Yeah.
But I just, the last 5 years have been very frustrating for the fans. We had a great young core. We've had a poor front office the whole time. I'm not going to blame the players completely, but I am going to blame the fans because we got to stop taking this from the ownership or the front office or whatever it may be, because we were in line to protest last year, and then look what happened in the offseason. Why would any big star want to come play here looking at how the front office acts? And that was predictable for me from the end of October. No way Soto signing. No way these guys are signing. We're getting played. Why would anyone want to come here when we're seeing what happened in the playoffs the last two times, the decisions that Schneider makes just in regular season games on pitching changes are sometimes puzzling. But the fans, once again, we got to stand up and say this isn't good enough. And maybe last year we were even due for a protest. These guys should not be in the front office, and I'm convinced they're just here to see the renovations through and make as whatever profit they can, and they really don't care about competing, unfortunately. How do you guys feel about that point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the call. I don't necessarily share the sentiment in that. I don't know if Ross Atkins gives a rat's ass about the renovations, to be honest. I mean,
nope.
That's not his bailiwick.
Nope.
That's Mark Shapiro's area.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, what I said before the break, fans aren't happy, and it's not just that. I mean, I don't want people to think that the fans are unhappy purely because Vladdy hasn't been signed. They're unhappy because this team hasn't won. They're unhappy because they know that this team is spending a lot of money on payroll. They're unhappy because they've seen Jays teams and haven't been able to spend money on payroll. And, yes, there are fans who are going to pull their hair out every time they hear that the Blue Jays were in pursuit of a player and the player signed someplace else. But, I have an issue with that, in that there are a lot of other teams, you know, that
aren't in it.
Feel that way, that aren't in it. There are a lot of teams that should be in it. They didn't even take a run at it.
No.
I mean, you know, with all due respect, you look at Shohei Ohtani, there were a lot of – Red Sox didn't bother going after it. Red Sox didn't bother going after Juan Soto.
Ownership, you know, was all in on Ohtani.
Yeah. So, for me, I'd rather have ownership that's willing to spend money.
Sure.
Now, what I really wonder, and I think this might get more directly to your point, if I was a free agent wanting to come here and – I'm sold in the city. I'm going to get more money than any place else, probably. But, you know, at some point I'm going to ask, especially if I'm in my, you know, late 20s, hey, what are your plans? Like, what are the plans going forward? Mm-hmm. And I've got to think part of that has to be, what's up with Vladdy? I've got to think there are players who wonder about that. But at the same time, you know, look at Anthony Santander, signed a multi-year contract here. He doesn't know what's going to happen to Vladdy.
Nope.
Andrés Giménez was traded. He didn't have any choice. But
Jeff Hoffman came here.
He doesn't know. I think Jeff Hoffman wants to close games for a team that's going to win 70 games because it doesn't have Vladdy or Bo.
There you go.
But I do get your point. Signing Vladdy would make the fans happy for a year, but if you sign Vladdy and you don't go to the playoffs this year,
they're going to be unhappy. Yep.
And this is why I keep circling back to this. It's not just Vladdy, it's the fact that this team hasn't had any playoff success, and when they've gone to the playoffs, they have collapsed catastrophically. They just have. It's like hitting a wall, those playoff losses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for a fan base to swallow.
Yeah.
You know, especially a fan base that still has memories of 2015 and 2016.
Yeah, I think fans want this team, this organization, to be relevant every single year.
Yep.
And when it's not, like it wasn't last year and the way it looks now. Again, this is one game. Let's not get carried away with this thing.
Right.
But optically, you know, there's some things they need to clean up, right? They need to get a little bit better at. And I think fans are sort of fed up of seeing the product on the field look this way.
I mean, you only get one chance to make a first impression.
Absolutely. Hopefully they turn around tomorrow and they win a game and everybody just falls in love with them again.
Carl in Mississauga, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Hello, Carl.
Carl.
I know, I'll just keep it brief, but I'm just tired of it, you know? It's the same crap every year. Like, New Year, same problem. Like, 6 home runs in one game. I don't know how it happens. I know it's opening day, and there's the whole season ahead, but I'm just tired of it, you know? And I know all the fans are tired of it as well. It's just getting to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's still 161 to go. Trent, I need some of you to stay with me. Yeah, Barker and I need some of you to stay with us here.
Yeah,
now, don't be... You know,
well, we're going to do our part. We're going to do our best.
Yeah, don't be hanging us out there, you know.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I it's going to be hard on me because of all these tariffs. I don't have my bourbon anymore because I'm a good Canadian. I don't have my bourbon, so I'm going to need.
Really?
I'm just telling people.
Write that
here.
Down. You're waiting to use that.
It's true. You know me. I do like like a little
something
bourbon.
Different. To get you locked in again.
Yeah, I know. I do like a little bourbon though, and I can't now. So I'm going to need. We're going to need the fans to help us through here.
We do.
You know? I don't
Everybody
want to become a wine
together.
Drinker at like 10 o'clock at night drinking wine instead of my bourbon.
Well, let's not give up just yet, okay? I mean, they still got a
I don't like scotch. I'm not a scotch drinker.
Well, they got a better. Do they have a better bullpen they had last year?
Yes.
Do they have
no.
a longer lineup than they had last year? They'll hit more homers than they did last year, probably.
Maybe. Yes.
Well, there's a good place to start. So let's not just throw in the towel just yet.
Oh, I'm not throwing in the towel.
And Jose's really bad at opening day. That's why it's... You know this coming in, why throw him?
I mean,
it's exciting to run him out there, and I know he's happy, and he's supposed to be the guy, but it's that thing, right? If he hasn't done it a couple of years in a row.
Pug. Oh, what a great name. Pug from Etobicoke. What's up, Pug?
Thanks for taking my call. Guys, I don't want to hear from any fans that it's early and it's opening day. All of that is BS. This is just...
Well, it is early, and it was opening day.
It is opening day.
I get it. But from your 4-9 hitters, you have no pop. And guess what? Dalton Varsho is not coming back and rescuing the team. You know, and there was a caller talking about the Jays, you know, we wish we were in the AL Central. Well, guess what? The Jays have the fifth biggest payroll in baseball, and we cannot draft and develop like the Orioles, and we are not efficient and smart as the Rays. So it doesn't matter what division you put us in. We are being run by bums, okay? Ross Atkins, I don't know how his job security the last 10 years is this crazy. It's him and Justin Trudeau. I don't know who's worse. These guys are...
Oh, I know. Well, I won't say anything.
Two guys that hold a position for 10 years, and that's just brutal, and yet he still has a job. It blows my mind, right? Yeah. Like, looking at our third baseman, Ernie Clement, love the guy, but he's a super utility guy. Is that a starting third baseman on a $242 million payroll team? Give me a break, man. Like, this is ridiculous, right? Like, Jay's friend, like the other caller said, we were fed up.
Yeah.
Like, what else is there to do?
Well, you can call us.
Yeah.
Every night, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'll walk you off the ledge.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I may push you off the ledge, but most of the time I'll walk you off the ledge.
You'll push me. You won't push them.
I mean, if I haven't so far, it's not going to happen. But
yeah. We're here for you guys.
We are. Yeah.
Call us.
We're all here. We're all in this together. Jeez. It's like... Seriously, game 163 of the 2024 season. The first time I've heard Ross Atkins compared to Justin Trudeau on Blue Jays talk. There are so many directions I could take that, but I won't. I think, you know, Kevin, we were talking about this coming down here. I mean, we've heard it. We've heard today. The fans are grumpy today.
Yeah,
I'm not happy.
Yeah, look, the way the season ended last year, the way it started this year, I mean, you know, I'm sure they got the right to be however they want to be. They're paying for their ticket to come watch the game. If they want to be swirly, let them be swirly. I just don't give up yet. Like, I mean, there's 161 more of these. You know, they're going to get past the first month, hopefully, with the record that Jeff wants them to have. You know, I said 18 wins after tonight.
Because
I,
there is
know,
a sense
I may
of
be
urgency.
Shooting for the moon there. Well, I mean, did you just there is a little bit of urgency when it comes to what we're selling is actually working. That I think is the urgency part of it.
You know, the other thing too, the fans I'm sure are well aware of this, and they showed this graphic during the telecast. The last 2 years, 2023, 2024, the Jays have been 21-31 against the AL East, 10 games under.
Yeah.
And you talked about this. They play the Orioles, they play the Red Sox.
11 of the first 17 games
against
the American League East.
Against those teams.
Yeah, and they were three games under .500 last year at home. So those two things got to get better.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you
ain't going to the Central anytime soon, Jeff. So you better figure it out.
Fans are well aware of that. 12-2. The Baltimore Orioles have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays in the Blue Jays home opener. Hey, we got to give a shout-out to Tyler O'Neill.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, man. It is crazy. Six consecutive opening days with a home run. Well, let's hear from Tyler O'Neill, the pride of Burnaby, BC.
Very special. I've had a great day so far, actually. Nice to get that 14-run win there. Just really saw the guys swinging up and down the lineup. So, you know, I'm happy to be able to contribute on my end. But, yeah, no, we got family in town, so it's fun to have everyone, you know, in person as always. But playing in Toronto is always special for me, just being north of the border. Fans out here are great. Stadium's great. So it's fun to have everyone in town today.
There you are. That was and I think that was actually before the game, Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah. I mean, it is something special. Like, he's expecting it, and he's still going out and actually doing it. I mean, he got a good pitch to hit. He's not missing them, Jeff.
No.
And he hits them line to line. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like he's pulling everything 700 feet. He's hitting balls to right center with backspin on, you know, pitches that should be located a little bit better. So tip your hat to him, because the expectation's there. You don't think his dad and, you know, his wife and everybody he knows is going, hey, dude, you do know what you've been doing the last five seasons on every opening day. And he's like, yeah, I know, and I'm going to do it again today.
What the odds were on him doing it today.
I'm sure somebody won a lot of money.
You know, looking at this game from the Orioles' point of view very quickly, Adley Rutschman, two home runs. Kevin, he hit two home runs from August 18th to the end of the season last year. So in one game, he's equaled the number of home runs he hit in what, from August 18th to the end of the season. And if you're an Orioles fan as well, you're looking at Tyler O'Neill. I mean, you got this guy because Anthony Santander left as a free agent.
Moved the porch in left.
Moved the porch in a little bit as well. So, yeah, if you're, you know, if you're an Orioles fan, you're looking at this game and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And quite frankly, if it is just one game, but, you know, if you're the American League East, you're looking at this and going, okay, it didn't have Gunnar Henderson, and they still managed to hang 12 against the
Cedric Mullins is starting to hit the ball. I mean, he's hitting fastballs. He's not missing pitches he should be hitting really hard. If he does that, it makes the lineup longer. You get Gunnar Henderson back with all the talent that they have that can hit fastballs.
There you go, by the way. It was Tyler O'Neill. That was talking after the game. But he said they scored 14 runs, didn't they? I mean,
well, they scored a total of 14 runs.
Okay.
I mean, it felt like they won by 14.
I mean, after the first 10, I stopped counting usually. So.
Yeah, I mean, again, you talk about Adley. He's covering different speeds.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll tell you. And I joked about the
he's
never going to be fresher. I joke because, you know, but he's never been fresher this time of the year. Yeah. And it's just, how do you keep him that way if you're.
What are his numbers against Barrios, by
the way? He was 14 for 23 with four homers coming into today before he went big fly in the first inning. So, yeah, I mean, again, what would you done in the 70s if some guy was 14 for 23 off you with four big ones? You ain't throwing a changeup down the middle, are you?
No, that
you're gonna probably wear it in the neck. I'm not saying Jose's gonna do that.
No,
Jose's
but yeah, I'm not certain I'd be throwing a change down the middle to a guy that owns me.
Well, he ain't trying to do that.
No.
He wanted to go down and away with it.
Yeah. Hey, everybody! There's still 161 of these suckers left.
Hang in there, Jeff. We can do it.
I'm ready
for
this. I'm built for this, Barker.
Oh, you
I'm
are.
Built
you
for this.
Built for something. That's
I am
for
certainly
sure.
Am
leadership.
12-2, the Blue Jays losing to the Baltimore Orioles. Hey, the good news is we get to do it again tomorrow. And Mr. Barker and myself will be back tomorrow as well. And Blair and Barker from 2 to 4 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 Fan of Sportsnet. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers on St. Clair and on Laird Avenue in Toronto. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned, and Crown is proud to operate since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.
Welcome to an extendo edition of Jays Talk. Show Ali Roger LaJoie with you until the top of the hour. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on Sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well. Lots of texts still to get to, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line is always open. Standard messaging rates may apply. Well, Raj, opening day has come and gone, and with it, a 12-2 loss for the Jays to the O's. Only 161 more of these games to go, Raj. No, they're not all going to go the way this one went, but, you know, before we get into anything about the specifics, Barrios, the Blue Jays offense, the Blue Jays pitching staff as a whole, you were down there. You busted it up here to get here just before we started the show. How was the experience down at the ballpark today?
Well, I think the ballpark experience was pretty good, show. It couldn't have been a worse start. I feel bad for that because, you know, a victory today might have, and it's one game of 162. We don't have to keep repeating. Of course, it's a long season. We'll see what happens. It's a terrible way to start the season, blah, 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 but we'll see. The vibe was really good. Fans going into the ballpark, we're in a good mood. I want to give a shout out to Tim Langdon, who is the public address announcer of the Blue Jays. I actually, and I'm not going to venture into politics here, but you asked me what the vibe was
sure,
like when
yeah.
we were at the park. Someone gave him a script from the Blue Jays, because Tim told me it wasn't his words, but it was given a script and before the national anthems were played. And I don't recall the exact wording, but whatever it was, did an absolutely wonderful job in cooling the temperature of all that U.S. national anthem stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim did an absolutely beautiful read, and I've done some PA work in my life, so shout out to Tim and to the crowd. The anthems were nice. We got through that. The opening ceremonies, people are vibed. Vladdy gets a big hand. It's all good. And the game was a complete stinker. It was a complete stinker for the first game. It's a real disappointment for a fan base that still loves baseball show. For all this talk, I can't stand the front office, and most people are of that. I don't like ownership. I don't like where the team's going. They're not that good. I'm so frustrated. Why didn't they sign Vladdy before now? For all that talk, 40,734 in the park. I understand attendance is tracking to be just slightly less than last year, and that could change if the team, you know, wins some more games and gets in the race. Man, that's pretty impressive. So that's a positive side. On the field, nothing positive today. That could not have been worse today. Where is the positive today?
Alan Rodon gets his first MLB hit.
Okay.
Maybe that's
yes.
it.
Yeah, all right. You know what? Okay. Let's give him credit. Yes, that's nice. A big thrill for a kid in his first start. Give me a second, and it'll take you five.
Jimenez, I guess.
I hit a homer.
I'll say this wrong. I did not have Jimenez, A, as the cleanup hitter, and B, being the first guy to hit a home run for the Blue Jays this season. Like, I don't know what the odds were on Jimenez being the first run scorer for the Blue Jays via home run, no less. But you're right. The positives were in short supply.
And I guess, you know, look, the one-game sample, here's the thing. The top of the order is pretty darn good. You know, I think Bichette's going to have a great season. We know what Vladdy is, what he can do. You know, Jimenez, whether he's hitting fourth or wherever in the lineup, he's a good enough hitter to be there. Santander, 44 homers last year, but show the drop off in the bottom part of that order is pronounced. It really is, and that's going to be a concern. And if the starting pitching, and listen, Barrios is a war horse, and I'm sure he's going to be fine, but that starting pitching staff, obviously, is going to have to be really, really good to make up for the bottom of that order. So the team has flaws. It has deficiencies. But I still stand by, I think it's an 85-88 win team. I think it's going to be a good ball club, but they played a stinker today. And when they lose like that, it kind of leads into the whole discussions of, see, I told you,
right.
They can't do anything about the order. And for one day, they're right. But you know the beauty of baseball show? The best thing about this wonderful game.
Get to do it all over again?
Tomorrow. Every day. You don't have another day to think about. Tomorrow night, you got fresh Jays talk stuff. You got other stuff to talk about. And that's the beauty of it. So I thought it was great. I was so happy to be back in the ballpark. But by the third inning, it's 6-0. That's enough to sour anybody's mood, right?
Yeah, I was really excited. We had the pregame festivities on the radio, and we played a little Ross Atkins. We heard Ben and Chris had a little extended pregame chat at the beginning of the broadcast before all the festivities on the field got underway, and they unfurled the giant Canadian flag. Like, that always makes you feel a kind of way, right? It's the first time the Jays had opened the season at home in several years. It's not something you'd experienced that recently or frequently.
You know, they were 5-0 in opening games. They were on a 5-game win streak in openers, and that was the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball.
Really?
Yeah. I did not know that. I saw that stat. I'm going, wow, that's a... First of all, nobody's won the opening game more than 5 years in a row?
Right.
No. The Blue Jays were the only one. Now, that streak is obviously over now.
Sure.
Yeah. But yes, in terms of, the flag bringing out, it's all great, man. It was all good. And unfortunately, they had to play baseball
yes.
after. It wrecked the whole thing.
It was all very short-lived. Yeah. Even after Barrios gave up the home run to Rutschman, I thought to myself, all right, look, that's 1-0. Barrios has had some home run issues. Like, that has largely been the bugaboo. Even when he is pitching well, he'll be cruising and then just give up a random home run here, and then that kind of mars his outing. And I kind of thought that's what we would get in this game. But Barrios, and we played a little of John Schneider earlier for Blair and Barker, but I mean, he just was afraid to go inside. And, you know, Blair and Barker talked a little bit about how Schneider mentioned, you know, Barrios might have been a little amped up because it was opening day. But I mean, this is a guy who pitched 2 opening days as a Twin, and now this was his 3rd opening day as a Blue Jay. Like, I'm not sure. Maybe
that's no excuse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not sure that's an excuse. And like, maybe for anyone, unless you're a literal rookie, but by this point of your career, I feel like that should be something that we don't talk about anymore.
I know it applies to hitting, but it's the same kind of example. Russell Martin was notorious. Remember him back in the day? I loved him, by the way. One of my favorite Jays, great catcher, Canadian, just had a great career.
Sure.
He always said the same thing because he was a notorious bad starter. And he'd always say the worst part. He said, it never bothered me. I don't care. I'd come up. I know eventually I'm going to get back up to 240, 250. He said, but if you start the season like I do and you're 3-for-38 and you look up at the scoreboard and your average is 086, you feel like crap. If you go 3-for-38 in the middle of the season and your average drops from 250 to, say, 238, nobody even notices. It's the same thing with Barrios' performance today in the first game. That's the point I'm getting at.
Right.
If this is later in the season, you're saying, oh, the guy's a horse. Like, what the heck? He just didn't have it today. It's the first game of the year, and all of a sudden is, well, you know, he's getting a little bit old, and I don't know if he's going to be able to, and he couldn't go inside and everything. So we do tend to overanalyze the most recent sample size. And for the 2025 Jays, we only have one sample size of one game, show, and it's not a very good one for him and everybody else.
I was a little worried, I suppose, you know, less so about Barrios because, like you said, pitchers are going to get blown up over the course of a season. I mean, five innings for Barrios, nine hits, six runs, all of which were earned. He gave up three home runs. He did notch five strikeouts. He walked two as well. He faced 24 batters and threw 90 pitches. So a mediocre start, a bad start for Barrios, like no question. But, you know, pitchers get blown up over the course of a season. So I have every faith that he will be, unless it's going to be that like the season he had in 22, I have every faith that he will be good. But we did get to see, I don't think anyone was really thinking the season was going to hinge on appearances from, you know, like Richard Lovelady or Jacob Barnes by any means. But we did get to see, after Barnes, all of Chad Green, Yariel Rodriguez, and Nick Sandlin. And those guys, especially Green, and those guys are a little bit more, you know, they're closer to being the high leverage guys, especially Chad Green.
Oh, no question.
And I was a little worried that, you know, Green comes in, and I know his stat line is not going to look as bad because two of the base runners he inherited belong to Barnes, but I'm, you know, a little worried because I think one of the aspects when you compare, because, you know, like you said, the sample size is literally one game, so you're going to look back to last year as well. I'm a little worried that overall maybe the bullpen is going to be not where it should be. And again, Chad Green hadn't pitched in a while. He was just getting some work in, Sandlin as well, Rodriguez as well. But you are going to have to rely on those guys a little more than you're relying on Lovelady and Barnes, I think.
Well, no doubt. Look, Lovelady and Barnes are only pitching in the game because it's 6-0.
Right.
You know, they're not high leverage guys. And, you know, the thing is, some people would even suggest home opener, you should trot out, you know, your make sure get your other guys in. So, you know, keep the game, the lid on the game. That's not the way it works. It's game one. There's a game tomorrow night. So what if you'd said, okay, trot out the high leverage guys and you still lose today 6-2 instead of 12-2.
Right.
And then 2 days, 3 days into the season, you know what you're saying? Your high leverage guys are tired. You're throwing them too much early in the season. So they did the right thing in terms of who they used. But yes, Rodriguez in particular is an intriguing guy, is a guy they have expectations for. Chad Green is expected to come in and get some high leverage outs. So yeah, another disappointment. And again, to go back to the Russell Martin thing, even though Green, the runs weren't, you know, all charged to him, that's not the line you want to see at the start of the season. You just don't want to see that on the scoreboard. It looks awful because, oh man, I came in 2/3 of an inning, I gave up three runs, look at my ERA. So yeah, disappointing all around, show.
Let me ask you this, Raj. I see a lot of text here on the text line. Again, 590-590, name and locations where you can text us. You can also drop us a line as well, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll take your calls up until the top of the hour. But a lot of text about the power and about the batting order and about the bats in general. There's a text here from Mark in London. Mark saying, Ross Atkins said at the end of last season media availability, presumably with a straight face, that home runs were low-hanging fruit. Wondering if he watched today. And, I think he was, even though I'm sure he along with the rest of us, wish he wasn't. But there was a lot of calls about, and texts also about, Tyler O'Neill. And you and I had this conversation during the offseason about, is the addition of Anthony Santander enough for this team to compete if you're banking on bounce-back seasons from, you know, Kirk and Springer and all these different guys, Jimenez to a certain extent as well, even though he wasn't on the Jays last year. You need Bo to bounce back. You need Vladdy to keep being that guy. Now, I'm not saying after game one is the time to make sweeping proclamations.
Well, show you, we all agreed. We wanted them to get two hitters.
Yeah.
We wanted the Jays to get two hitters. Yeah. That's your point. You're absolutely correct. They did not get the second bat.
Yeah.
Remember at the start of it?
So you're still concerned about it?
Yes, because like I said, look at the bottom of that order.
Yeah.
And I know Varsho is out, but even Varsho coming back, I still like, man, you get past number four on that lineup most games, and I don't want to say it's easy sailing, but it's substantial. Of course, every team has a drop off after the top four guys.
Sure.
But Texter's right. I don't think there's any question that was not addressed. That may turn out to be an issue. But, you know, Vladdy and Bo were pretty quiet today. I expect Vladdy and Bo to make a lot more noise the rest of the season, and then maybe we feel a little differently about the whole lineup.
I think, too, I mean, Zach Eflin,
I think that's what kind of was a little discouraging for me. It's not as though Zach Eflin is a guy the Blue Jays have never seen before. He's not exactly a world beater necessarily, right? I mean, the Jays have hit Zach Eflin reasonably well, especially in the last couple of years when he was with the Rays, a year and a half when he was with the Rays after the Rays handed that deal to him in free agency a couple of years ago. So I guess maybe my own expectations were miscalibrated, Roger, but I did expect more from the team's better hitters. And we just didn't get that just in terms of quality of AB, right? There was a moment where Bo, maybe he mishit it by a fraction of an inch and he flew out to hit the guy to put his glove up against the outfield wall to prevent it from being a home run or at least going off the top of the wall. So, you know, maybe there's something there with Bo, but, you know, Vladdy too. I mean, it just, you got to think too, Raj, because Vladdy was what? He was 0-for-3 with a walk, I want to say, or 0-for-2 with a walk. Yeah. So, you know, I think with Vladdy, the conversation too is if this kind of thing continues, and game one, you gotta give it some time here. But if it does continue for even the smallest amount of time, you know that everyone, and I'm not gonna say they're gonna be entirely wrong. You know, a lot of the conversation is gonna veer towards, oh well, the contract is a distraction, and he should sign or he should be traded, right? Yeah, like, that's gonna be the conversation for the rest of the year. Essentially,
we're gonna get that conversation show even if the team is successful in their hitting. Because then the pressure is going to ramp up even more, saying you got to get this guy signed. You can't let him walk for nothing. It can't be just about this year. I don't want to bring it up on opening day, but I guess I'll bring it up because we're talking about small sample sizes.
Right.
Let's check Vladdy's playoff stats. Okay. I can tell you what they are. And his career postseason batting average of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is in six games, small sample size, six games. Batting average is .132 with one RBI, no homers. Bo Bichette in the same six games, one RBI, no homers.
You just know that off the top of your head?
I know. I've checked it many times. Okay. I have checked that many times.
That's impressive.
Well, the reason I brought that up is here's the thing about those two guys, Show. Is like, and listen, I advocate resigning them both. Don't get me wrong. But you notice everybody blames the Jays front office because they haven't won a playoff game.
Right.
In the Vladdy-Bo era. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Vladdy and Bo played in all six of those playoff games. And I just bring up their contributions in those games.
Sure, they wear it. They have to, right?
Absolutely. But it's not a discussion point because all the Vertol is directed towards the front office. So I'm not concerned, though, about those. They're going to have years, Show. They're going to have big years. They're in walk years. They're good players. They'll hit. You're right. Disappointing today. Maybe the home opener, you want better at-bats. They'll hit. I'm not concerned about those two guys. The bottom of the order, I'm concerned about. The starting rotation, if the older guys start to show the age, and I'm not saying Barrios is based on one, but we are kind of expecting, Show, that the starting rotation is going to be a strength of this team. Well, if it isn't, oh, I'm going to walk back I think they can win 88 games pretty fast.
yeah, I'm thinking with you, Raj. I do want to ask, before we go back to the text line, just because we were getting to Vladdy, you saw the reports, and there were some even from today, from Buster Posey.
Negotiations are really going.
I think the last number I had seen, now this is from Hector Gomez, and you know he's had some right, some wrong. He's an insider in the Dominican Republic, but he had the team having restarted contract extensions with him. I said Buster Posey. Buster Olney was the report today. Buster Posey is a former player who now runs the Giants. but Buster Olney having that report. And it was interesting because the numbers were $550 to $600 million. Now, that's a huge range of money, right? Like, that's a lot of dollars in between
$550 and $600. Yeah, but it's a long way from $350 to $450, which was originally.
It is. And remember, the initial report as well was it had to be $500 million in quote-unquote present-day value. So I guess they were offering him $450 in present-day value, $500 including deferral. So I guess then if the number sits around $550, $560, somewhere in there, it would get you down to around $500 million, depending on how it's structured with deferrals, over 14 or 15 years. I mean, I can't help but think that if that is, and we don't know, but if that is the number and year term that gets offered to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and he still doesn't take it. I mean, gosh.
Well, he's not signing here.
He's not signing here then. Right?
This is
That's
it.
That's an insane amount of money to turn down.
If this negotiation is correct, if those numbers are even close to being correct, and Vladdy doesn't sign in the first, I don't know, I don't want to put a deadline on it because he did that. A couple of weeks of the season, well, then clearly he's going to test free agency, and then clearly based on that, someone will come and offer him more. End of story.
You think so, though? You think someone will?
Depends on what happens this season.
Because what if he hits like 21 home runs this year?
He's going to be the most sought after free agent even if he hits 21 home runs this year. Right. But if he hits 41, look out.
Right.
So that's the gamble you pay. But then, okay, so if he hits 21 then and you're the Jays, you still offer him $600 million? See, that's the question. That's the thing is, look, we're going to give it to you now. Are you going to take it now? It's just those kind of numbers show and those kind of contracts. If that's correct, if that is correct, then I blame Vladdy for not signing, not the Jays management. That is more than a fair offer.
Yeah.
For a player of his caliber, which is an excellent player, don't get me wrong, but that is, I mean, come on. And you wonder, is it ever going to end? Like, so just because Soto gets $750 and Ohtani got his money, so the next guy's got to get $600-700 million? It's never going to end? Like, there must be a cap to this somewhere. And then we're, and just wait, because you know what the big story is going to be, show in the next 18 months, is baseball owners crying poor with the collective bargaining agreement coming.
Yeah, it's true. There could very well be a lockout by the beginning of next season. Right. We have no idea.
So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. If that is indeed what it is, then what's the holdup, brother? That would be my question.
The way I look at it too, Raj, is when you look at the present day value for someone like Vladdy, it's fascinating because I think whatever he was offered before, let's say it was 450, 460, it was like in the ballpark, if not right at the number in terms of present day value that Shohei Ohtani was getting. And I know like Shohei Ohtani, all the deferrals, and we've beaten that horse to death many times in the last couple of years. But still, I mean, Shohei Ohtani making 450 to 460, if not maybe a little bit more, $1 million in present day value from the Dodgers is still only surpassed by Juan Soto, essentially. He's still making more than the next guy, who is, I believe, Mike Trout. And Vladdy, so Vladdy's wanting more than that. And you and I have spoken about this before as well. It's kind of like you take that contract, you account for inflation even over the last couple of years, and then you give him the deal. But gosh, I mean, who would have thought we were at a place where the contract negotiations for Vladdy would be compared or even exceed that of what Shohei Ohtani got?
That's what I mean.
That is crazy. And Ohtani is essentially two players wrapped into one.
How do you think Aaron Judge feels about all this, too? What a bargain. Yeah,
he signed for a discount.
They got that guy for MVP in the league and 60 homers in Major League. That's why I ask, is there no end to this? So if that figure's correct, then come on, sign the deal. So, you know, but if it is correct, maybe it does get done. Maybe it does get done. Those reports are, there's some validity to it.
Like,
you know, you can never guarantee if anything's true, but my experience over the years has shown me there is some degree, at least some degree of truth to most rumors.
Right.
And so they've restarted the talks, and we know how Ross Atkins and Shapiro talk. They play the cards close to their vest. They're going out there again, and they're not backing down. Oh, yeah, and I saw the agent, and I, you know, said, you know, whatever it is, I'm hopeful to him, seeing him in the hallway. They are not backing down that they think they can get it done. So they got a marketplace now, thinks that it's going to get done.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, when you hear Shapiro go out there and who's historically does not say that kind of stuff. And he goes out there and says, I think we're close. I think we're going to sign him. That sets an expectation to your
point. There's no question about it. So if we had said even last year, Vladdy's going to get $600 million, we would have been laughed out of the room.
Yeah.
Callers would be saying you guys are crazy.
$600 million.
No one's going to pay Vladimir Guerrero Jr. $600 million. Now, please play Vladdy $600 million. That's how that narrative is flipped.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the phone lines, Raj.
Let's do it.
Let's hear about Vladdy's contract extension and some thoughts from the callers. Tyler in Brampton wants to talk a little bit. Tyler, welcome to JSOC. What's on your mind?
Hey boys, how we doing? I was just going to talk a little bit about Vladdy. Yeah, like as fans, we always talk about, we complain about ownership not putting a winning product on the field. Maybe Vladdy feels the same way. He thinks maybe we're not putting a winning product on the field. What is the incentive for him to re-sign in Toronto when he's got probably every team in the league offer him similar kind of money?
Hey, Tyler, appreciate the call. Thank you
for
joining
us.
It's a fair question, comment.
Yes, maybe Vladdy does not want to sign because he doesn't like management in the way most fans don't like management. That might very well be the case. If that's the case, then why do they kickstart negotiations again? You don't kickstart negotiations unless both sides want to talk. So why are they talking then if Vladdy feels that way? So I'm just going to just trying to read the tea leaves here.
Right.
I guess I don't believe that to be true. I would assume
that he doesn't want to be.
Yeah. Right. I would assume that Vladdy thinks it's a good thing to play in Toronto for this particular management. And even players know, especially Show, he's signing a, let's say, a 12, 14-year deal. You see some of the term on these deals? You think Atkins and Shapiro are going to be around in 13 years? They may not be around in 13 weeks.
It's true. The people who eventually replace Atkins and Shapiro might not be around in 13 to 14
exactly
years.
Exactly right. That's a long reign. It's a long time. That's what people are saying, that these guys have had 10 years.
You and I might not be.
They're not getting it. Well, I'm going to hang around until I'm about 95, so speak for yourself. But, like, honestly, it's like, really, like, a player is not that all that. And a guy like Santander. Mm. Why did Santander leave the Orioles for the Blue Jays then? If the Jays are such a train wreck, according to so many people and the management and the organization and everything else, and he was with Baltimore, and look at that team today and the way they play today, and good organization, lots of good pieces, a contender. He didn't bother signing in Baltimore. Why? He saw something in Toronto. Springer, Ryu, all the free agents that have signed here over the years, and Gausman, good, solid players have bought into this franchise and the front office and in their belief that this franchise could win. So I don't think it's off. The only the most frustrating thing Show has got to be, though, I guess this. Mm. They got the fifth highest payroll in Major League Baseball, and they're about the 24th best team right now, it looks like.
Yeah.
That's pretty discouraging.
That's a tough place to be.
Yeah. That is a tough hole to be in. So what do you do now? You know, like, what do you do now in terms of that? Now, there'll be expiring contracts coming off. There's other ways to get around that, but boy, they ain't getting much bang for their buck, are they?
Well, especially if you decide to give Vladdy like $45 million a year, yep. Like, there, I know we think like Rodgers has spent a fair amount of money, but there is like an upper limit. Like, every team, unless you're the Dodgers, apparently, like, yep, has an upper limit. Even the Yankees have an upper limit. And if you're paying all that money to one guy, then you're going to hit that upper limit real fast.
Everybody has an internal budget.
Right.
Maybe the Dodgers don't, but just about every organization team, even in a league with no salary caps, has an internal budget. And says that we cannot go any further than that. And but still, apparently, according to Ross Atkins, they think they can get him signed. So what's the holdup, boys?
Let's squeeze in a couple more calls here, sure. Raj. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to Mark in Markham, who joins us here on Jay's Talk. Mark, what's up?
Yeah, you speak of an internal budget, and I quite frankly, I think it's time to get rid of any illusions of overpaying for either Vladdy especially or Bouchette, and just start the whole, get rid of the management and start the thing again from the bottom. Give the fans maybe a break. Maybe not have $20 beers. Maybe not have overpriced tickets. It's ridiculous. And you will see that attendance is going to just go into a nosedive. There's plenty of other alternatives to go to. And Vladdy, I have zero time for that guy. He can't sign for anywhere near those numbers. He's a Canadian boy. Get rid of him. Who cares?
Well, you know, Mark, you bring up a point in terms of Vladdy's connection. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. You bring up a good point. If Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a Canadian, you know, born in Montreal, father played for the Expos, loves the team apparently, homegrown, 6 years here. If he's not taking your money, who's taking your money? Which magnitude star that you're chasing is going to sign with you if you can't get that guy? So I do, but see, again, what are we doing on opening day? We're talking about Vladdy's contract in terms of distraction or whatever. This has got to get resolved, Show. The franchise is at stake in terms of this. And now time ticks and time ticks. It's like, imagine if he walks for nothing after all this time. So that's, but Mark, listen, you're not alone. There are some people, not everybody thinks the Blue Jays should give Vladimir Guerrero Jr. $600 million.
That's a lot of money, Rog.
It is a ton of money, Show.
Joe in Mississauga joining us here on Jay's Talk. Next up, Joe, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. New season. I wouldn't worry too much about today. It's a long, long season. But, My point, you know, we talked about it a lot last year and the year before. Was there any extension for Vladdy in the cards? Like, was there anything placed? Because in my mind, there was, and for whatever reason, Shapiro Boston go for it, Atkinson go for it. Because, I mean, remember last year, they held out for $1 million. Like, for that, right. You know, I couldn't believe that. Like,
for arbitration.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I'm going, $1 million with the money that's being thrown around? And they did that last year. And to the point, for me, that's when Atkinson, Shapiro had to go. Like if there was something tabled and that Vladdy was willing to take and they said no, how could they still be in charge of this team? That just blows my mind. Like, I can't believe it. And on the radio last year, all year, they were talking about, well, you know, he can't get more than Bryce Harper, right. $23 million, $28 million. So what are you guys talking about? In my mind, it was $30 million minimum last year. Now it's just gone, you know, it's another stratosphere.
Joe, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us here on Jays Talk. Yeah. I think it's another valid point, Raj, in terms of when did the rubber meet the road on previous contract extensions with the Blue Jays and Vladdy? And I mean, we don't really know. But I mean, I think because I've said before, I'm curious to get your take on this, Raj. To Joe's point, I've said before that it was hard for the front office to know exactly when they should have given Vladdy a contract extension, because prior to 2021, he had never really been the guy. It was a little disappointing since he had been called up. In 21, he has the big season, but there's some question marks as to, A, whether he will do it again. There were some questions about his weight, his work ethic.
Buffalo and Dunedin.
In the minor league ballparks before the team came back to Canada. 22 and 23 didn't really have exciting seasons. Like, they're all right seasons for, like, player X, not for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And then 24 is last year. And now here we are, right? So, I on one hand, I think it wasn't easy for the front office to make that decision. But on the other hand, it's, you know, like, if you're getting paid the big bucks to run an MLB franchise, like, you probably should be able to figure out where that point is.
It's a tough balancing act for sure. Here's the fear, though, show, and it is a fear when I think about it. So let's say you give Vladdy $600 million.
Right.
Then he becomes the Mike Trout of the American League East. And what I mean by that is you play on a high payroll team and you don't surround it. It's like, and here's, you know, the frustrating thing again. Look at the team where it is today. As constructed, all right? Whether Vladdy is making $60 million a year or what he's making now or making $1 million a year, he's the same player. Extending Vladdy does not improve the Blue Jays. It builds, it keeps a building block. It keeps a player who's already here. It's likely the right thing to do, but you don't get any better. It's not an addition. So the point callers have made and texters have made is that, and especially I believe it was Tyler or Mark was saying, is like, look, if he won't take the money, then move on from him. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. So, and I would ask, like, straight out, I'd really like to know if you ask fans this question: is Vladdy worth $600 million? Should you sign him? Should they do it? Yes or no? What do you think?
For $600
million? $600 million, mm-hmm. Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
See, when the spring deadline, air quotes here, deadline came and went, I asked that same question to people. We did like a special edition of Jay's Talk, and I asked that same question. I said, what's the point where you say it's too much? And I think most people, I said 550, and I think most people said even that's too much. And I mean, they're probably not wrong, yeah. Right? I mean, it's about what the market says you're worth, but gosh, if it takes $600 million and probably including deferrals.
Again, I go back to, you know, if you've got the ownership wherewithal, and they do, to have the fifth highest payroll in Major League Baseball, you got to get better results than you're getting now. And re-signing Vladdy does not make you better. It keeps you the same.
The same.
It keeps Vladdy happy.
Right.
And overall for the franchise, it's important. I know there's other reasons behind it, right, Joe? Sure. You know, I think it's hit that part. If Vladdy really wants to be a Blue Jay, and those reports are correct, what's the holdup? And I don't mean just on the, because everyone talks about the Jays front office. No, Vladdy, what's the holdup?
Yeah.
Apparently he wants to play with the Jays, likes it, family, all the bit.
But he only wants to play for the Jays if he's getting paid $600 million.
And okay, what's the holdup then if that report is correct?
Yeah.
Or is it really down to, oh, well, my number is now 600 and the Jays are offering 570 and that's it?
That's it, right.
It's come to that. Well, if it's come to that, you know what? Move on.
Before we take a quick break here, Raj, let's squeeze in one more caller. Again, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's get to one more. Carlos from Kitchener joining us here on Jay's Talk. Carlos, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think at some point, I don't think it's worth to re-sign Vladdy for $600 million. I mean, if you look at the pitching staff on this team, I mean, it's a collection of guys that are past their prime. If you look at AAA, there's you know, apart from Arjun Namulla, there's no prospects, you know, on the farm. And so, you know, we could easily get into a scenario where the team is bad for 4 or 5 years after this season. And, you know, by that time, Vladdy is, what, 31, 32 years old? And you know, he's going to become like George Springer, right, where you're overpaying him and you know, you just got to pay him because he has a contract that nobody wants. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Carlos, thank you for the call. I will agree with Carlos in this sense, Raj, that if you give Vladdy, not just the Blue Jays, if literally any team signs Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and they will, to a 13, 14, 15-year deal, by the end of that deal, we're going to be talking about that deal in the same way that we just finished talking about, well, less so Albert Pujols, but the Miguel Cabrera deal.
Everybody.
Everyone. Anyone
who's still being paid that kind of money at age 38 or 40 or however old Vladdy will be when that comes down, that's the price you pay. That's the cost of doing business.
I do think, though, to Carlos's point about just does that hamstring you, especially if the cupboard is bare, because if the drafting doesn't change, and we'll see if it does, but you don't know if the drafting will change. You don't even know if Arjun Namulla, as good as I hope he will be, you don't actually know if he's going to be that good, and you won't know for at least 3 to 4 years until he even makes Major League Baseball. So my only point is, from to go back to what we were talking about before, I mean, let's say Vladdy's getting paid $45 to $50 million a season. Does that hamstring your ability to bring in other free agents to make up for the fact, to Carlos's point, that the cupboard is kind of bare at the prospect level?
It is.
It probably does hurt you a little bit.
Well, and even with Vladdy and Bo returning, what did we say in the offseason over and over again? They still need two big bats. They still need to bolster the team. They still need to do things. So we've kind of answered our own question. The team is not that good. It's not that good, because I still think they're pretty good. But they still need, and even Vladdy said himself, show, I keep using a quote he used a few years ago when someone asked him about a slump or, you know, one guy hitting or whatever. He says, not like the NBA, one guy can't score 60 points.
Right.
We just saw they were the Anaheim Angels then, Los Angeles Angels, whatever they were called, 5 years. They had Trout and Otani in the lineup every day. They never once made the playoffs, and they weren't even close. Think about that before you say, yeah, pile all the money into a couple of players. If you're Dodgers or Mets, yeah, you pile all the money into Soto. That's a pretty good team around him, too. It's Aaron Judge, same thing. Pretty good team around him, too. Dodgers.
Sure.
Betts, Freeman. Yeah, Otani, come on in, join the party. Blue Jays, are you running the risk, if you do that, of becoming Vladdy, some other guy, and 78 win seasons? Because you know what people want? They want a winning team. That's what they want more than anything else. They may, even people who really love Vladdy, love winning more.
Yeah. They don't care really how the wins come, I don't really think. People will go watch a winning ball club no matter who's on that team.
1,000%. 1,000%. And anyways, tomorrow night they're going to win 8-0, and Vladdy will sign, and we'll have a completely different show. That's my prediction.
That is Roger Lajoie. I'm Sho Ali. For Roger Lajoie, Ben Shulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Stephen Coyle, Derek Brandeo, Austin Mackey, Brandon Brown. It takes a village sometimes. I'm Sho Ali. That does it for us. We are out of here on Jay's Talk. We'll have more Jay's Talk Classic after tomorrow's game. Like Raj says, first pitch flies just after 7 p.m. Eastern with Ben Shulman and Chris LaRue. Blair and Barker will have the postgame show on Friday, so we will talk to you then.